Welcome to the Thrive at Work podcast. In this podcast, we discuss strategies, tools, and tactics to help you find more meaning, more success, and more fulfillment at work. Now, who doesn't want that? So here's your host, Nancy Cabara.
Hello, and welcome to the Thrive at Work podcast, episode 9, titled Welcome to 2025. I hope you're feeling good about this year and that you're looking forward to all that the new year has to offer. Now, whether you're excited about what this new year is going to give you, or whether you're approaching the new year with cautious optimism, these early weeks of the new year are your chance to set the tone. They're your opportunity to welcome the possibilities that a new year brings. So what I love to do is that at the start of a new year, because I believe that it's a clean slate on which to build, and that because there's fresh energy, I just feel that there's so many prospects for new opportunities. And I hope you feel that too. So before diving into the new year, I like to pause and reflect. I pause because I find that there's so much value, immense value, in reflecting on the year that's just gone by. And then using what you've experienced in that past year to plan out the next year. It's not rocket science. People do that all the time. So what we're going to talk about today is a process I call year in review. And you might have heard other people doing this and asking you to do a year in review. And I'm just going to echo that. It's a good thing to do a year in review. And it's not a process of just listing all your accomplishments or all the challenges that you face through the year. I think it's very intentional. It's intentional. It's an intentional reflection that's not just a reflection for reflection's sake, but to draw out some tangible and actionable insights and follow-on actions. Yeah. I find it a really good tool for growth because of all the insights that you get, and also for resilience because of all, you know, you look at all the ups and downs that you went through the year and how it built you and how it gave you strength and resilience, and you might have discovered parts of you that you didn't know. And so that's why I think doing a year in review is so valuable. So instead of moving straight into a new year, I think it's good to pause and extract the gems that we, you know, have built through the year and that we can continue to leverage in the next year. So apart from those general, you know, reasons to do a year in review, I think there are some very specific ones. So I would like to share with you 4 reasons to review your past year. So the first one, and it's a good one, it's to celebrate your wins. I think very few people take time to celebrate the good stuff that happens to them and dwell on all the challenging stuff. But I think it's really good to just pause and celebrate your wins. And because it's so easy to forget how much you've achieved in the year because of all the hustle and the bustle of daily life. So taking time to acknowledge your successes just reinforces confidence in yourself and also motivation to create more success. So when I take stock of what I've accomplished in the year, it can be very surprising how much I've accomplished. In fact, this year, I thought about it when I was reviewing my year, and I thought, oh my goodness, I have done so much this year in terms of different consulting pieces. I've gone into industries that I've never worked in before and really felt a growth, even though some of these projects were quite challenging. So I pat myself on the back and I say, oh, lovely. And I've surprised myself. The second reason to do a year in review is because it's a chance to learn. If you know me, you know that I'm a lifelong learner, and I'm so sold on the notion that both successes and setbacks carry valuable lessons. And so a review allows you to extract these lessons. And it means that then you don't have to repeat your past mistakes. And on the flip side, you can replicate your successes. You can leverage those successes. And, you know, why change what's working? Use your successes and build on them. So then the third reason to do a year in review is because I think it provides an opportunity to look at all those open loops and actually close those loops. So during the year, you might have some unresolved challenges or some lingering frustrations that you haven't quite dealt with. I think by doing a year in review and surfacing those challenges or unresolved frustrations, it enables you to bring to closure some of those and to create space for new possibilities. So that's one other reason that I like to do a year in review. It just means I start off my year very aware of, you know, challenges, frustrations. I can close them and start off on a new footing. Excuse me. The fourth reason to do a year in review is because it gives you a chance to get clear, really clear, and set the direction for the new year. Now, this last point is so important because reflection helps you understand what's important to you and what's not. It's an opportunity to reassess your priorities. You can then set intentions, and that will allow you to get your goals set out and make sure those goals are aligned to your intentions and aligned to your priorities. Yeah. And once you've got your goals, then you can create some actionable plans to achieve those goals. So you can see how the four things are related. So it allows you to reassess your priorities, and then you can set your intentions. From your intentions, you can create goals that are aligned to your intentions and values. And then from those goals, you can create actionable plans. So that's why I like to do a year in review, because there's no point reflecting if there's not going to be some action out of the reflection process. So I like to make sure that we sit down, we reflect, but at the end of the day, there are some goals and actions that we're going to be taking in the new year. Now, excuse me for 1 second because I'm going to cough. Okay. Now let's dive into the framework that I use to do the year in review. Now the process, it's very simple. It's got 5 steps, but these are very impactful steps if you do them, if you commit to doing them. So I'll tell you what those 5 steps are first, and then we'll walk through each of those. So the first step is to celebrate the highlights of your year. Step 2 is to acknowledge the challenges that you faced during the year. And step 3 is to extract the lessons from both the highlights and the challenges. Step 4 is to decide what your priorities are. And then step 5 is to set intentions. And those intentions will allow you to set goals. Okay, so let's go to step 1, celebrate highlights. So in this step, you'll reflect on the highlights of the year by asking yourself what went well this year. Now, it might be in your professional achievements, it might be personal milestones, it just might be moments that brought you joy. But this is when you collect all those moments, all those achievements, all those milestones, and don't shy away from even small ones. It's not just a matter of the big ones. So write them down and take a moment to feel proud of what you've achieved. So for example, it might be that you successfully completed a project that was so challenging and that took so much out of you. Or you might have built a new habit. So for example, morning walks, and you've been so consistent at it. Those are things that are highlights, and you can celebrate those. I'm sure you get my drift. Okay, step 2 is to acknowledge the challenges that you had to deal with or to overcome. This is when you think through the tough moments and you ask yourself, what was challenging this year? What really tested my capacity? What really tested my resilience? Now, I want you to be honest with yourself, but most important, you need to be compassionate. The goal here isn't to dwell on the negatives. It's to understand what happened. It's to understand those negatives and to draw out what those challenges taught you. Perhaps they revealed areas for growth, or they showed you how resilient you are, or even maybe they just showed you that you needed to shift directions. So for example, you might have struggled this year with time management or poor decision making, and that led to stress. And so you're going to do things differently next year. Or you might have faced maybe, let's say, communication breakdowns with a team or a team member that impacted a project's outcomes. And so next year you're going to do things differently. Which leads nicely into step three, which I've alluded to, which is to extract the lessons. Now you need to go back to both the highlights and the challenges and ask yourself, what did I learn? And what can I do differently? Now this step is about turning those experiences into wisdom. Wisdom that you can take into the new year. Okay? Now you need to document these insights because they'll be your guiding lights for the future. Step four is to assess your priorities. Now, when you've looked at your highlights, you looked at your challenges, you've seen the lessons that have come out of it. Now you step back and evaluate where you've been spending your time and energy and ask yourself, what truly mattered to me this year? What was important to me and what wasn't? Also, was I aligned to my values? Did I feel congruent, or was there conflict? And then also ask yourself, what brought me joy? That will show where your priorities are, or what drained my energy. Maybe let's not do too much of that. So you might have, volunteered at a local organization and that brought you fulfillment and is aligned to your values, and you might want to prioritize that. It might be a priority for next year. Or you might have spent so much time in data analyzing multiple spreadsheets and felt that it drained your energy. And for next year, you might want to make a change. You might want to delegate that, or you want to outsource it. If it's work that must be done, but somebody else might be able to do it and it might bring them joy. I know people who love spreadsheets. So now this assessing all this will help you to prioritize your next year and make sure that your actions are actually aligned to your values. So step five then is to set intentions for the year ahead. You use your reflection to shape the new year. So instead of jumping straight into resolutions and shallow goal setting, let's set goals based on intentions. So intentions are broader value-driven aspirations, or I'll say goals, but I mean it in a different way. So intentions are the higher level. They provide a foundation on which to create your goals and then your actions. And I'll explain this a little bit more. I see foundations as providing an anchor, because during the year when you're falling off the rails, if you remember your intentions, it just brings you back and you can evaluate your actions and change them so that you're in congruence with your intentions. So the intentions set the foundations for your goals and make sure that you're grounded and adaptable, even when life takes unexpected turns. So let's look at some examples that I can think of. Okay, so for example, if my intention is to prioritize my health and find enjoyable ways to stay active, I might set a goal to go to the gym 3 mornings a week and maybe play one team sport or go for a long walk. So there's a bit of variety in there, different ways, the enjoyable ways to stay active, and also prioritizing my health, making sure that 3 mornings a week, I'm meeting my intention of prioritizing my health by going to the gym. Or you might have an intention to focus on being purposeful with your time, and you might say that you want to create boundaries so that to make sure that you're protecting your time. So that might lead to a goal of saying, so for example, I will, if social media drains your time, you might say, I might spend only 30 minutes twice a day, maybe in the middle of the day and maybe in the evening, looking at social media. That means the intention is to be purposeful. And so the goal to create that purpose is 30 minutes twice a day. And so that means you're protecting, putting boundaries around your time. I hope you understand. I hope this illustrates how to set intentions that can lead to goals and actions. Okay, so those are the five steps. And let me just repeat them so that you can remember them. So step one is to celebrate your highlights. Step two is to acknowledge the challenges of the year. Step three is to extract the lessons. Step four is to decide what your priorities are. And step five is to set intentions for the year ahead. So to be able to do this and to do it well, I've got three tips for you. The first one is to set aside dedicated time to do the process. Look, you need to give yourself time to let the reflections course through your body. I'm dancing while I'm saying that. Anyway, what I mean is to let it all come out. So you might light a candle, you might play some calming music, sit down in a quiet space where you know you won't be interrupted and do this review. The second thing is to journal it. Write your answers to the questions in each step. This will allow you to have a record so you can revisit this record halfway through the year when you think, oh, I just need to refresh. And you can come back and say, what did I set at the beginning of the year? And the third thing is to be kind to yourself. I think it's important when we're reviewing the year and if we didn't quite get where we wanted to get, is to avoid self-criticisms, avoid being harsh, you know, focus on growth and learning, not perfection. And I think if you speak to yourself like you'd speak to a dear friend, that would be the goal. So the last bit is around gathering some feedback. If you feel that you've interacted with lots of people and they can give you a perspective of your year, that would be helpful, then you might want to ask a trusted colleague or a mentor or a friend what highlights of the year they can share with you in terms of feedback. Okay, so that's the process. And you better go and do it because it's very useful. Even now, yes, we've started the year, it's still a valuable exercise to do at this early part of the year. So take time to reflect on your year. It's a powerful strategy for personal growth. And as you step into 2025, I encourage you to set some time and do your year in review. Remember to celebrate your journey and then set meaningful intentions that will translate into goals for which you will create actions. So thank you for joining me today. Now, if you found this episode helpful, I'd love for you to share it with someone who might benefit. And as always, feel free to reach out and share your comments, your suggestions, or questions. I'm here to support you. Have a wonderful start to the year. See you next time.
You've been listening to the Thrive at Work podcast with your host, Nancy Cabara. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss any future episodes. You can also leave a review, which will help the podcast reach and impact more people. Till next time.